Who is your neighbor? Who is your neighbor? The Bible says we are to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And in this passage of Scripture, we read of a lawyer who wanted to tempt the Lord, or wanted to justify himself. And he asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" And Jesus gives this parable. The lawyer says, when Jesus asks what you should do, because the lawyer says, "What do I need to do in order to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus says, "What does the Scripture say? How readest thou?" To which he responds, he says, "And thou shalt love thy Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." And Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live." Then it says, "But he willing to justify himself said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor?" The passage of Scripture we read here, when we read about loving the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, body, and soul, neighbor as ourself, it's humanly impossible. We cannot keep the law. And that is what the law was given for. It was to teach us and help us to love our neighbor, to deal with each other in the right way, in a responsible way as people. And God, when we look in the book, within the Bible, we understand one thing, that he loves people. He's concerned about people. He wants people to be helped. He wants people to be ministered unto. And when we look at this passage of Scripture, there's one thing we have to understand when we're loving the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, body, and soul, and our neighbor as ourself, that what we're doing is being a good neighbor when we do these things. As we go through this passage of Scripture, the lawyer responds by saying, "Who is his neighbor?" And I read the passage of Scripture in which Jesus gives to him a parable. And I want to answer the question, and I want you to understand, the Bible says the neighbor is the one who helped the person, who helped his fellow man. There's a stranger who's left for dead on the side of the road. The Bible says the priest and Levi walk by and they leave him alone, leave him for dead. Then a Samaritan walks by and he sees him. He has compassion on him. He helps him. And as we go through this Scripture this evening, I want us to know a few things. First of all, what prevents us from being a good neighbor? What is it that prevents us from being a good neighbor? And I've put under that, letter A, focusing on your duties prevents you from being a good neighbor. Focusing on your duties prevents you from being a good neighbor. Luke 10, 31, 32. "And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side." Whatever the priest and Levite were on their way to do, to them was more important. Their duties for that day, or their responsibilities, got in their way. What did it get in the way of doing? It got their way of doing what they ought to be doing. Helping people. In our lives, sometimes when we're not careful, we begin to get involved in the routines of life, our responsibilities, and instead of stopping to help people in their need, we're too busy. And that is a dangerous place to be. And so many times we begin to look at our responsibilities as being more important to us than people. And remember, even within the body of the church, people are our responsibility. Our responsibility of loving our neighbor as ourselves, it's about loving people. It's not about programs and all the things that we get to enjoy as brothers and sisters in Christ. Those things are nice, but ministry is about serving people, being a blessing to people. The Bible says the following in regards to this in the book of Hosea. Turn, if you would, to Hosea. Hosea chapter 6. In verse 4, Hosea chapter 6 and verse 4. Book of Hosea, chapter 6 and verse 4. The Bible says, "O Ephraim, what shall I do unto thee? O Judah, what shall I do unto thee? For your goodness is as a morning cloud, and as the early dew, it goeth away. Therefore have I hewed them by the prophets. I have slain them by the words of my mouth, and thy judgments are as the light that goeth forth. For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. But they, like men, have transgressed the covenant. There have they dealt treacherously against me. Gilead is a city of them that work iniquity and is polluted with blood. And as troops of robbers wait for a man, so the company of priests murder in way by consent, for they commit lewdness. The priests were more concerned about sacrifices and burnt offerings than they were showing mercy and the knowledge of God. The Bible says in the book of Hosea. In this passage of scripture we even just read, Jesus gives this parable. These priests and Levites, they're more concerned about their duty, whatever it was. They're probably going to offer a sacrifice. They're probably going to serve God in some way, or so they thought. They were more concerned about doing things than they were helping people. And God says, this is not what I desire from you. I did not desire burnt offerings and sacrifice. I desired you to show mercy and to have the knowledge of God. I desire for you to love me and to love your neighbor as yourself. And if your focusing on duties prevents you from being the person you ought to be in helping someone in your life, in your circle of influence, then you're not doing what you ought to do as a Christian. You're not being a good neighbor. Going through daily rituals without mercy, to the extent you're more upset that the road is closed because someone had a car accident and it ruined your day, then you are the person who is in the accident, is having this type of attitude. Going through life and going down through life's journeys, and you're more upset because so-and-so interfered in your day because they had a question or they were in a struggle in their life and they called you and it bothered you that they called you when you had things to do, puts you in this type of place where you cease to be the good neighbor that God wants you to be. God does not want us to have this attitude. He wants us to remember that people matter, that people are important. Jobs, they get you money. The responsibilities, they're a good thing to have. God wants you to have these things. But it should never be put in a place in your life where your duties or your responsibilities are more important than the people around you, where you begin to look at people as a bother and you're more concerned about what you're going to do at work than how you're going to be a blessing to other people. Work can wait, but those who are in need cannot. It goes without saying, but this is true. You would never say to your friend who's hanging off the edge of a cliff, sorry, I have to go to work. I'll see you later. The responsible thing to do, the right thing to do, would be to help the person in their need. Help them at that moment in time. The principle in being a good neighbor is a higher priority than the routines of your life. When it is in your power, don't focus on your duties, but focus on your neighbor. Not only is focusing on your duties to prevent you from being a good neighbor, but focusing on your finances. Focusing on your finances. In this passage of scripture, I'll read verse 33, the Bible says, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. The Levite and the priest, the day and age in which they lived in, they didn't have free health care. They understood, and when they looked at this person, this is going to cost me some money. This is going to cost me something. And I don't want to be involved in that. I'm not going to take the time to do that. Time is money, and for them to stop would help make them to lose money. In order for the priest and Levite to be of any help, they would have to invest in a person they did not know. They would have to take time and resources and invest it in someone else. And they just couldn't be taken up with such a thing. They had more important things to do. They had more important places to be. Bible says the following in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and beginning of verse 6. Turn your Bibles there. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 6. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and beginning of verse 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, And it's certain we can carry nothing out. That just goes to show how you should treat your things. You didn't bring anything here, you're not going to take anything out. Use it for the glory of God. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. When we look at this passage of Scripture, the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. When you look at the evils around you, usually a lot of times the cause of many evils in this world we live in is the love of money. People value treasures, the things they own, what God has given to them, more than they love people. And that is within our society even now. You look around, people are more concerned about their things than the people. Someone will run into someone and by accident bump into them, and the first thing they'll do is they'll jump out and look at the front of the car, make sure everything's all right. The car wasn't damaged. And then that goes to show people's values. Their values is upon things, when their value should be upon other people. In our society, we need to get back to putting things in the proper place and loving our neighbor as ourselves. And just remember, your neighbor is everyone. It's your fellow man. That's what Jesus was teaching. You say, who is my neighbor? It's not just the people next door to you. It's everyone in your realm of influence. It's everyone who you come across. We need to understand money is not more important than people. The Bible says in Proverbs 19, verse 17, he that hath pity on the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. Money should be a tool to help those who are in need and not just for self. That's what money is. Money is a tool. It is used as a tool. The tool is to be used to glorify God. It should never be used for selfish reasons. It should never be used in order to get a nicer vehicle. There's nothing wrong with those things, but when those things become priority, when God is not first in your life and you begin to put things above people, then it becomes wrong. That is the love of money, and that is the root of all evil. The Bible says in James chapter 2, verse 14, you don't have to turn there, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I'll show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? You think about it. Someone who's in need, they come to you. The Bible says naked. They don't have food. And you just say, yeah, you'll be all right. Go away and you'll be warm and be clothed. And you have the ability to meet that need. And you don't. You're not being the neighbor that God wants you to be. You're not practicing being a good neighbor. You can say, I'm a good neighbor. I love people. I love God. Your actions speak louder than your words. What are you doing? What is it that God, or the responsibility that God has given to you in your life? Who is it in your life that you're able to be a blessing to, that God wants you to help right now? You know of someone who is in need. If you focus on your finances more than a person, it will prevent you from being a good neighbor. Not only that, focusing on self prevents you from being a good neighbor. Focusing on yourself prevents you from being a good neighbor. Luke 10, again, verse 31, 32. And by chance there came a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at that place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. The Bible says the following, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 and following. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. In this passage of Scripture, the Levites were concerned about their selves. They were a lover of themselves. They were proud. They were unthankful. Their actions spoke louder than words. They weren't willing to help someone in their need. And the main reason for this is they were a lover of themselves. When you begin to love yourself more than you ought to, it causes you to do pretty mean things. And you say, why? Why does it do that? Because the Bible says our heart is desperately wicked, and who can know it? The root of evil, for within it the heart of man proceedeth, the Bible says, adulteries, fornications, evil thoughts. These things come from within. And when you begin to focus on self, and you let yourself take control, it will put you in a position where you'll be like this Levite and priest, where you just say, I can't be bothered. I have stuff I have to do for myself. I have to think about number one. That's what society teaches. They say, think about number one. What is best for you? And God says, don't think about number one. Don't think about yourself. Think about God. Think about others. Think about how you can be a blessing, how you can be used of God to minister unto someone else. That is what God teaches in His Word, to be a blessing. The lawyer, of course, he was focused on himself. He wanted to justify himself. Only one, of course, can justify you, and that is God, and he did not understand that. But we think about it. It began in the Garden of Eden. It begins with the blame game. Is this my responsibility? Am I my brother's keeper? Am I supposed to take care of those around me? Is that my responsibility? Who is my neighbor? Who am I supposed to help? Well, he's not my neighbor. I don't have to help him. That's not my neighbor. He doesn't live next to me. I don't know him. And what God is teaching us in the Word of God is people are our neighbors. Everyone is just like you. We're all sinners. Everyone has come from somewhere. We're all on equal ground. And what makes a difference in anyone's life, what will help anyone, is Christ and Christ alone. People need to be saved, and Jesus wanted this lawyer to understand that. He's willing to justify himself. And God had to teach him a very important lesson, and that was he came short of the law. And it was not by the keeping of the law anyone could be justified. The Bible says in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 3 and verse 22, Romans chapter 3 verse 22, even the righteousness which is of God is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all, and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned. We're all in the same boat. Being justified freely by grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Everyone needs Christ Jesus. Everyone needs to trust in Him for their salvation. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remissions of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. When we focus on ourselves and not others, it causes us to not look at people as we ought to. The lawyer and the priest, the Levite, had a self problem. The lawyer had a self problem. Who is my neighbor? And God was trying to show him how to deal with that self problem. Of course, it begins by getting things right with Christ, having that relationship restored with God. But then when your relationship is restored with God, you need to be the good neighbor that God wants you to be. Bible says in Romans chapter 15, beginning of verse 1, the following. Turn there if you would. Romans chapter 15 and verse number 1. Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself. But as it is written, the reproaches them that reproach thee fell on me." To be a good neighbor, the Bible says we need not to please ourselves. And the Bible says not even Christ pleased himself. He gave us as an example. Christ didn't go about doing things for himself. He did things for others. He was a servant. He came to minister unto others. He came with a purpose to be a blessing to others. He loved his neighbor. And of course, he showed that for us at Calvary by paying the ultimate sacrifice for each and every individual. We need to learn from the life of Christ and please not ourselves. He was not self-centered. He put others before himself. He didn't look at the outcome of the situation and say, "You know what? This is too hard. This is going to hurt me too much. I'm not going to do it." He looked at the situation and he counted the joy that was set before him and he endured the cross. He looked at what was to come. He looked at the result of what he was going to do, how he was going to save the world, and he went through with it. He loved his neighbor. The Bible says in the book of James, chapter 2, verse 1, "My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment. And ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, Sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, Stand thou or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not ye blaspheme that worthy name by which ye are called? If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin, and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law, yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." You have to learn to love people. You have to learn to look at the others around you and just not look at yourself and say, I'm concerned about number one. You have to look around you and say, I'm concerned about what God's concerned about. I'm concerned about people. Not only do we see being self-centered keeps us from being a good neighbor, but I'll go to my second point now and I'll be done. What makes us a good neighbor? What makes us a good neighbor? In Luke chapter 10, verse 33 through 35, the Bible says, "But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him. Whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee." What made the good neighbor? Who was neighbor unto this person that had been attacked by thieves and left for dead? It wasn't the Levite, it wasn't the priest. It was a Samaritan. The least likely of all people, the least person that you would think that would do such a thing. It was a Levite and priest's responsibility to show by example how to live the life for God. It's their responsibility to be the example. But yet here is someone, a Samaritan, who takes up that responsibility. And he shows the priest and the Levite and the lawyer how to be a good neighbor. We don't want the world teaching us how to be a good neighbor. We need to show them how to be a good neighbor. We want to be the example. We want to be what God intends us to be. In order for this to happen, we need to learn from the Samaritan. And what was it that he How did he take care of the situation at hand? Well, he had compassion. When he walked on by, he didn't say, "Oh, well, there's another person lying in the ditch. Wonder what happened to him." And come up with an excuse as to why not to bother to help. But instead, he took the time and he ministered on a person that he didn't even know. He took of that time where he was going. He was probably on his way to work. I don't know. Or he's on his way home. And then his wife got after him for being late. I don't know. But he took the time to minister unto someone. That took time. It took resources. It took his money. The spoke about earlier about the duties, when you put duties before people and your money before people, it causes you to be a bad neighbor. But the Good Samaritan, his duties, whatever they were, he put it off to the side. His money, whatever you need, I'll give to you more. Just let me know how much it costs to take care of him. I want this person back and restored back to health. I want to help this person. We need to be like the Lord and show compassion on our fellow man. Who is my neighbor? It's the person that you see in need. When you're going down the road of life, the ones that God has placed in your life and within your realm, within your responsibility, and that is your responsibility, is the ones you come across in life, help them when they're in need. Don't walk away. Don't turn your back. Don't say, someone else will do that. That's not my job. That I don't have time for that. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 18 and following, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also." Don't go around trying to deceive yourself and say, I love God. I go to church. I do all these things. I give of my money. I give of my time. I give of all these things. Then you neglect the people in front of you. When they're in need, you just don't have time for them. God teaches his word, if you can't love people who you see, how then can you love God? We never should be in a place in our lives where we've gotten to a position where our position, our responsibility are more important than people. God wants us to love people like Jesus loved people. He wants us to help them when they're in need. The Good Samaritan took time, talents, and treasure, and invested it in a total stranger. To be a good neighbor means to have compassion on others and their distresses and not just your own. It is putting others before self in the service of God. If you love God with all your heart, mind, body, and soul, it will follow naturally. You'll love your neighbor as yourself. It will follow in this proper place. Not everyone in town walked by the person who had fallen among thieves, but someone did. I'm here to let you know, we live in a sin-cursed world. You can't help everyone, but you can help the ones that God has brought in your path in life. You can't be everywhere, but you can be where God wants you to be and be a blessing to those God has brought into your life. There are many people that are suffering in Kitchener-Waterloo and around the world, and we can't help everyone, but we can help those we know. Those we come across, the strangers in our lives that God has brought into our path. As you have opportunity to be a good neighbor and love others as yourself, take the opportunity and do it as Christ would, and then you'll be a good neighbor. And then you'll be a good neighbor. How are we to be good neighbors? Well, we have to understand we all have neighbors in our lives. Everyone is our neighbor. Each and every person we come across is our neighbor. These people are our fellow man. They are anyone and everyone that we come in contact with. When we see someone in need, let us not simply pass on because we're too busy or afraid of the cost, or we just don't know what will happen if we get involved. Let us love them like Jesus did or would, and stop and help along life's way. Let us love God by loving others in their time of need. Let us be a good neighbor. The Bible says the following, and I'll be done. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 and following. Turn there if you would. Matthew chapter 7. And we'll begin reading in verse 7. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter ye in at the strait gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. The narrow way to life eternal is Jesus Christ. And the narrow way in how we live our lives is to live like Christ. And the way we live like Christ is being that good neighbor. We don't pass on by. We don't look the other way. We help someone in their time of trouble. We be the neighbor that God wants us to be. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we thank you for your love and your mercy. We thank you for all that you have done for us. Lord, I pray to help each and every one of us to be that neighbor that you want us to be to our fellow man. Lord, we have things to do. We have so many things in our plate at times, but Lord, help us never to put those things above people. Help us to love each other and our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Help us to love other people we don't even know. Lord, I pray that you'd work in our hearts and help us in each and every case and situation to be that person we ought to be. Lord, I pray that you just continue to guide us and direct us. And I also pray yet again, Lord, that you work in the hearts of those here this evening and those who are watching online that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. I pray that they'll come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, Lord, I pray you just do the work all you can do. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.